Then, how many of you got there in your Bibles?
Amen.
All right. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, and the word vagabond means travelers, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I am acquainted with, and I know. And Paul I have experience with, I know him. But who are you?" And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And then if you would also turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And I want to read a couple, three verses there in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. And it's not too much further in your Bible beyond Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. So it's just about four or so books away. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And in this first installment of Dressed for the Occasion, you might... maybe we could just for fun subtitle this message, "This is not a pajama party." Look at your neighbor and say, "This is not a pajama party." And let's bow our heads for a moment and ask God's blessing over this time of the teaching and preaching of the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to bring the word today. In the beginning of this sermon series, I pray that we can lay a foundation that will strengthen this congregation, that will challenge them to change and grow stronger and more mature and more complete in you and their knowledge and understanding and their spiritual abilities. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you want to grow in your spiritual abilities, grow more mature in God, would you say amen?
Amen.
Or if you don't like that word, you can just say yes. All right, you like that word, don't you? The word naked in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean to us today what it meant to them. And the word naked usually in the Bible means that a person's outer garments have been removed, their coats, their cloak, whatever they wore, their work clothes, if you will, their day-to-day clothes were removed. And often underneath, the men and the woman wore different pieces of fabric wrapped around their waist and wrapped around their loins, and that sort. And so we speak in the Bible about somebody, especially here in the New Testament, that is naked. It often and usually means a removing of the outer garments. And I want to tell you today that what we are dealing with as Christians and saints of God, this is not a pajama party.
Oh.
There's an old saying, you don't bring a knife, Brother Patrick, to a gunfight. And so when you are dealing with situations and when you are presented with opportunities, you usually will dress for the occasion. It's not recommended that you've got your sweatshirt and your wool socks and your winter boots and your gloves and your hat and your mittens on or whatever and your scarf around your neck if you're going to go out tomorrow and roof somebody's house. You better find a nice bright colored t-shirt to reflect the heat, maybe a little bit of sunscreen. It's not recommended, Brother James, that you dress up in your dress pants and your dress shirt because you're probably going to get dirty. And Mama's not going to be too happy with you if you show up at the house Monday evening with your dress clothes all dirtied up from being on top of the roof. If you're going to get on that roof tomorrow, you better be dressed for the occasion. You might better have a scarf to wrap around your head or some kind of a headband to soak up the sweat.
That's right.
And you might better have a big cooler of water or some kind of liquid that you can refresh yourself with. We've got these seven young men in the city of Ephesus, and they're very caught up in the culture of the day, if you will. They were Jews, so to speak, but just because they were Jews doesn't mean that they were perfect. It doesn't mean that they wasn't messed up. And they were called exorcists, and they were the Jewish version of mystics or witches, if you will, or warlocks or whatever. And they fancied themselves to have some skills. They had learned some incantations over the years and picked up some things. And no doubt they had maybe infused some of their theology with some of the other theologies of the Greeks and the Romans and the Persians and maybe all the way back to the Babylonian Empire. We don't know. There in Ephesus, all sorts of things were being taught and promoted. And there are all sorts of evil spirits that had a hold of people's lives. And people were captive and bound by them and driven by them. Jesus came into the world, and the Bible says he was driving out evil spirits, so that he would drove them out of young children, and he drove them out of women and out of men, and he found those that were of the most violent sort and set them free from evil spirits. And we find the apostles of Jesus, Peter and James and John, and we find Paul, the apostle of Jesus, going around and casting out evil spirits and demons from all those who were bound with them. One of the things that the church is set on the earth to do in these last days, it's not have a pajama party, it's not have a lock-in, it's not have a sleepover, but it's to go out into the community and cast devils out of people that are bound in the cruel bondage of Satan. We are sent to the earth with the power of Jesus, not to make ourselves happy, not to get ourselves blessings, not to accumulate wealth, but we have been sent with the power of the treasure of the Holy Spirit of this earth to set the captives free and to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. We find Jesus casting out devils and demons. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. They drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they'll be able to cast out demons, and they're going to be in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we find Paul doing his missionary journeys and going to Ephesus and building a church and working miracles under the power of God and casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And a couple of these Jewish exorcists just happened to show up to some of the revivals that Paul was holding. And they were really interested and amazed in the technique that he had accumulated over the years. And the things that they've seen him do. And so they thought to themselves, let's listen close to see what he's doing. And then we know a guy that's got some real bad demons. We're going to go cast those demons out. We're going to do the same thing that Paul did. If you're going to go to a gunfight, you better bring a gun.
Right.
If you're going to go into a spiritual battle, you better make sure you ain't wearing pajamas. You better make sure that you're not spiritually naked if you're going into a battle against devils and demons. And the Bible says they went to this man's house and knocked on his door. And they said, we command you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him. Seven of them against one. And the evil spirit spoke to them. They said, we have heard of Jesus, and we know his power, that he is the Son of God, and we tremble at his name, and we have heard of Paul, and we have experienced his power here in Ephesus, and the ranks are shaken by the name Paul, and is spoken because he has power with God. But who are you? Saints of God, I'm here to tell you today that we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible says that the church in Laodicea, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, that they were rich and that they were a very wealthy church, a very fashionable church, but they were a lukewarm church. But they said in verse 17 of chapter 3, he said, because you say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Of all the seven churches of Asia that John prophesies to, the church of Laodicea doesn't have any adversaries on the outside. They don't have any enemies that are attacking them. They're not under any sort of persecution. They're not suffering from any heresies on the inside. We don't see them rebuked for any of those things. And they literally are living in the lap of spiritual luxury. And they thought they had it all together. But Jesus prophesied to them through his apostle John. And he said, but you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were having a pajama party. Everything was going good for the church in Laodicea. And you want to test the mettle of a church, don't take it through persecution. If you want to test the mettle of a church, don't take it through trial. If you want to test the mettle of a church, don't take it through heresies and spiritual opposition and division and internal conflict and strife. If you want to test the mettle of a church, make it prosperous. If you want to test the mettle of a church, if you want to see what it's really made of, let it come to a time of peace and tranquility, and you will find out what a church is really made of. And the church of Laodicea had laid aside their spiritual garments. They had laid aside their armor, their spiritual armor. And the Bible says they looked fashionable on the outside. They looked good on the outside. They were dressed up so nice, and Laodicea was known for its black wool, and they were known for the very favorable colored garments and different sort of textiles that they produced. But the Bible says, God said, you are in your pajamas, and basically what he was saying is, you're not ready for the fights. We've got to be dressed for the occasion. Paul said to the church in Ephesus. Isn't it funny that Paul said it to the church in Ephesus? It was where the seven sons of Sceva had been known to try to cast out devils and demons. It was in Ephesus that the massive amounts of witchcraft and incantations and magic was happening. Interesting, isn't it, that it was in Ephesus that Paul writes to these people. And he said, you need to put on the whole armor. The word put means to clothe oneself. It means to literally get your clothes on. You need to get your armor on your body. This is not a pajama party. We are in a spiritual battle. The Bible says in the last days, that evildoers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible says in the last days that Satan is going to go to war with the angels of heaven, and he's going to be cast down to the earth with great fury because he knows his time is short, and he is going to persecute the church such as it has never been seen before. It is going to be persecuted sorely. And when we go into the book of Revelation and we think of talk about persecutions, we're not talking about the saints of old. We're not talking about the church from thousands of years ago. The Bible says they stand on the water in white robes, and they say, how much longer before we're avenged of our persecution? And the angel says, when those who are coming in the end receive their persecution, and when those that are in the end experience their sufferings, then will the end come. There are still those, the angel said, that have yet to suffer persecution in these last days. Can you think of another time in history where preachers of Jesus Christ have their arms and their legs literally yanked out of sockets and severed from their bodies and are literally thrown alive in a hole in the ground? Can you think of another day and time like that? That is the day and time that we are living in, church. We are living in the last days. These are things that are happening to Christians across the world. We may not be experiencing it here in Laodicea. We may be enjoying our pajama party. But I'm here to tell you that the United States of America, if history has anything to do with proving itself time and again, you cannot stay neutral forever. Eventually, the fight is going to come here as well. And really, secretly, it already has. Secretly, it's already going on behind the doors of Ivory Tower. Secretly, it's already happening in governmental systems and in our school systems, in our educational system. Secretly, it's already weaving its way in with the teachings of evolution and all sorts of other things that are going on. It won't be long, American Christians, till you begin to experience the same persecution that the saints of God that are associated with you across the world are experiencing. The day and the time is coming. And where are we going to be when the fight comes to us if we're dressed up in our pajamas?
Come on, Mom. That's right.
We've got to be dressed for the occasion. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you the whole armor of God. The devil is a lot stronger than we are. And how we dress spiritually is more important than anything else that we do. We have got to be dressed spiritually. We have got to be dressed up spiritually for the occasion of the warfare that we face. We cannot afford to walk out of the house on Monday morning without at least taking a few moments to breathe a prayer to God. We cannot afford to rush around our day without at least taking a few moments to consider the plan, the will of God that's happening in our lives. The Bible says we should pray, lead us not into trials and tribulation and temptation. We've got to be dressed and ready to fight. We've got to be dressed and ready for revelry. We've got to be dressed and ready and accounted for when the time comes for the soldiers to be called to arms. We've got to be dressed spiritually for the occasions that come our way.
That's right.
You find yourself in the middle of a spiritual battle. If you find yourself in the middle of a spiritual fight, and you find yourself beaten up and beaten down and discouraged and worn out, it may be because you have discarded and you have lost your focus on how important it is to have your spiritual armor on. The helmet of salvation. These poor Jews weren't saved. You know what happened to them? They got the old little noggins knocked in a little bit. You've got to have the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to have your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus said to his disciples, "Rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life." We have got to be dressed for the occasion. Before we go into a spiritual battle, we better make sure that we're prepared. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You cannot afford to step into a spiritual battle with only your Sunday school teacher's lessons that you had up until about the age of 13 when you quit coming to church to make it through the spiritual battle. It's not going to be enough for you to have sit down and watch the Ten Commandments on TV for you to make it in a spiritual battle. It's not going to be enough for you to have sit down and read the kiddie Bible with your kids and read them a few stories about Jonah and the whale for you to make it in a spiritual battle. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got to be ready to do battle with the devil and the Word of God if you're going to make it.
Amen.
One of the most frustrating things as pastor, one of the most difficult things to navigate for me as a pastor is talking with people about the Word of God. When I talk to people in the church about the Word of God, when I talk to people out in the community about the Word of God, they all have their minds made up. They all know exactly what they believe and how it works. There's a hat that you wear around that says, those people that think they know it all are annoying those of us that do. Now there's one thing to brag. I'm not trying to brag or boast or anything like that. But it's one thing to have a snippet. It's one thing to have a little piece. It's one thing, you know, there's a lot of saints of God that are running around with one shoe on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the middle of a battlefield and I got one bare foot. Can we say without getting into too much trouble that it may be the Achilles heel of the church? But we haven't prepared ourselves for the things that God calls us to deal with. He's given us the Word. He's given us tools to study the Word, but yet we never do. And our concepts and our understanding and our perception of the Word of God that is revealed to us in what we call the Bible. These words handed down to us from thousands and thousands of years ago, still relevant, still applicable to our lives, still lively and effectual and making changes in people's lives. But yet we don't have a full grasp of it. And when we get out into the middle of a spiritual fight, it's not going to be enough. When the devil said, did God say you'll surely die like he did to Eve, it's not going to be enough to come around with your little knife when the devil gets out his Uzi. You're not going to be able to make it a stand because you're not dressed for the occasion. Because it's the Word of God that is the only thing that can bring the devil down. Now, if you want to hunker behind your shield and let him pelt you and batter your shield till it's all beaten down, almost ready to fall to pieces, that's your business. The Bible says you've got to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And notice he brings the Spirit and the Word together. It's not enough just to have a head knowledge, but you've got to have the Spirit of God moving in you. And when Jesus went to battle with Satan, the Bible says he used the Word.
Right.
I'm challenging you today, church. You need to get dressed up. You need to get your spiritual clothes on because some of y'all are running around here naked like a little kid that just got out of the shower or out of the bathtub. And we may laugh about it and joke about it. And it may be okay in the safety of mom and daddy's house. But I'm here to tell you, when you get out in the real world, you better have your pants on. You better have your armor on. You better have your sword sharp. And you better be ready for a fight. Dressed up spiritually and put our spiritual clothes on. The Bible calls it the armor of light.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because without it, you are vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Without it, not only are you vulnerable to the enemy's attacks, but you cannot do a thing to him. You can't hurt him. You can't run him back. You can't defeat him. You can't help anybody else until you get your armor on. I'm not saying that you need to go around looking like a knight in shining armor. That's not what I'm saying. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that David anointed king, but yet a young lad, not sitting on the throne as of yet. He brings food to his brothers in the battle with the Philistines, and the Philistines had a champion. And he was tall, they say, as much as 9 feet tall. And he stood out there, and his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his shield was gigantic. And he had several people that were carrying his armor. And he went in. David went into the king, and he said, "I will go and fight this giant." And the Bible says that King Saul tried to put his armor on him. Poor little David was burning down and weighted down and all clunky. And he said, "I can't go out to a fight like this because I haven't tried these things." There's a lot of saints of God. I'm here to tell you, you can't just do a little this and do a little that and you're ready to go. You've got to get used to the armor on your body. You've got to get used to it. No doubt it's going to, when you first put it on, it's like putting on a new pair of shoes. It's going to give you blisters, and it's going to grate on your skin. You've got to develop some calluses and get used to carrying that. Well, your muscles aren't going to be used to carrying that around. But you've got to get used to it. David said, "Put this off of me because I'm not used to this. Just let me go and let me go the way that I need to go." And so the Bible says David refused to. He didn't even take a sword. He didn't even take a spear. He didn't even take an arrow or a bow with him. But he took a slingshot and 5 stones. And you're thinking, "Now, Brother Rob, you said we shouldn't be bringing a knife to a gunfight." That's because you're thinking in the natural, and I'm talking about something spiritual. That's because you're thinking everything natural. It's hard to comprehend the things of God with the human mind. You can only comprehend spiritual things with a spiritual mind. The Bible says David took a slingshot and 5 stones, and he knocked the giant out cold with the first stone, climbed up on his body, pulled his sword out of his sheath, and cut Goliath's head off with Goliath's own sword. I thought you said we need to have our armor on. Don't you get it? It wasn't about what he was wearing on his body. It was about what he was wearing on his spirit.
Yeah.
It wasn't about whether his armor was shined up and everybody could give him a good wave and say, "Man, I wonder where he got his armor hammer. I wonder what blacksmith he's been to. That's a pretty looking shield he's got on there." It wasn't about what he was wearing on his physical body, but it was what he was wearing on his spirit. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, "You look good and you're dressed up nice, but your spirit is naked." And Paul said the same thing with the sons of Sceva in Ephesus. They went in there, they were dressed up in their physical bodies, but their spirit was naked. And that man possessed with demons beat the tar out of them and stripped their clothes off of their outside body so that it could reflect what their spirit really looked like. David had his armor on already. His armor was a harp and a praise to God. He had his armor on already. His armor was a prayer and relationship and communication with God. He had his armor on already, humble and submitted and doing whatever he needed. He had his armor on already. He was full of courage and did not fear amid the face of a giant. And yet all of Israel, dressed up in their swords, spears, and bows, and arrows, and armor, and helmets, and shields, and everything, not a one of them was dressed up. They were all dressed up in fear and shame. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have got to get dressed up in the spirit. We have got to get dressed up and above all things take the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The Bible says that when these 7 boys were beat up and their outer garments were stripped off of them by this demon-possessed man, that great fear fell on everybody at Ephesus. Now that almost seems like a
like it doesn't make any sense, like that doesn't seem like that would be the way. Why would, listen to this, and fear fell on everybody. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I want to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus, but I don't want to do it like they did. I don't want to prove how great God is by proving how much of an idiot I am. What does that mean? What that means is that the people that were just faking it were ashamed, but the people that were real magnified the name of Jesus. Not anybody could do this. Not just anybody, but only those who were dressed for the occasion. And they that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. Of 50,000 pieces of silver, and mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Let's all stand together for a few moments this morning, if you will. Expect ourselves to be at all helpful, functional, and useful in the kingdom of God. Because when you have the armor of God on, nothing can touch you. Nothing can hurt you. Because you are protected. The helmet of salvation protects your thoughts, because when thoughts begin to bombard and things begin to bombard your mind, you know, I am saved by the grace of Jesus. And when your heart is attacked, we know that we are covered in His righteousness. And with His truth wrapped around us, strength. Strength and protection. And our feet, we can walk over. We can be like these knuckleheads trying to walk over hot coals. Do you read about that on the internet? Well, people trying to walk over hot coals, and I think 17 of them got hurt. Well, we need to dress for the occasion. This is not a game, folks. This is not a pajama party. This is serious business. And it's time. Some of you out there have been battered up, have been beat up. Some of you out there as pastor, I know these things. Some of you have been through tough times. And you've really been challenged. And you're just, sometimes you just wonder what is going on. You've got to get dressed with the armor of God. And it's a spiritual thing. Covering our minds, covering our hearts, covering our loins, which is the representative of the creative power that God has placed in our bodies, covering our feet, which determines where we go and where we step. Able to strike out and damage the enemy's kingdom, and able to shield ourselves when we're in the middle of a firefight. Let's bow our heads together and let's talk to the Lord. If this word has spoken to your spirit,